Hannah Gray has been serving the community as a local government councillor for several years. She was nominated to be the 2020-2021 Mayor of the London Borough of Bromley at the height of the COVID pandemic in March 2020. Hannah has for many years been known as one of South London's most prolific small and medium enterprise networkers. Before becoming mayor, Hannah was Bromley's business champion, promoting and helping entrepreneurs achieve their business ambitions. She's now dedicated to helping promote SMEs, charities, and voluntary organizations to learn from their experiences for the benefit of all. Hannah Gray, Mayor of Bromley Meets.
This week, I'm joined by Gareth Welsh of Clearview Window Cleaning. Gareth and I haven't known each other for very long, really, but we have had a chance to have a chat. And I really was struck by Gareth's epic life journey and his unfailing positive attitude, which is really contagious. And I know that it will mean the world to the listeners and will mean the world to you. So bear with me while we run through why Gareth is my ideal guest for this week. It will all become apparent. And I'll now introduce you. So welcome, Gareth, to my podcast. How are you today?
Hiya, Hannah. Really, really good. Busy day as normal. Shall I be calling you Hannah, or shall I call you Madam or Mom?
Madam, that sounds a little bit wrong. No, Hannah's absolutely fine, Gareth, absolutely fine. So, busy day today?
Yeah, window cleaning there.
Okay, I definitely detect an accent in there. So I guess you're not from around here, but where did you grow up and where did you go to school?
So, yeah, I grew up in Newcastle and Pontine and went to school in Gateshead.
Oh, I love that accent. I think I may have told you this before, but as a child, I used to go up to Warkworth in Morpeth in Newcastle. And you can't say Newcastle, can you? You've got to say Newcastle, but it's a really bad try for me, isn't it? But no, I love the accent and it just brings back wonderful childhood memories. But talking about childhood memories, what if you go back to your childhood, did you have a favourite TV series
I used to love watching Soldier as I was growing up, like Tucker and Paddy.
Tucker and Paddy. I'm pretending I know what you're talking about, but but Soldier is exactly what it says. It's all about soldiers, all about the army, yeah?
Yep, that's it, yeah, all about that, yeah.
And did that help you know what you wanted to do? Because I think we're heading towards that part of the interview quite quickly. Did that help you decide what you wanted to do in life?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. As soon as I started watching it, I got into it and I decided, you know, that's the route I wanted to take, really.
Was your childhood a good childhood? Were you a good lad or did you get yourself into some mischief?
I was a bit of a bad lad, not violent or anything like that. But exams in school didn't really faze me at all, really. I was a bit of an outdoor person. It's quite different up Newcastle. It's quite far, like greenery and stuff like that. So it's not like built up cities down here. So it was a bit of adventure. We used to play out a lot. So I needed something to grab my attention, and school just didn't grab my attention at all, really. So I was always in detention, and, you know, I used to copy my mate's homework on the bus. And thinking about it now, I should have, you know, got a few questions wrong, and not try and make it obvious. But unfortunately, the teacher clocked straight away, and I was always on detention.
Oh, you got caught out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, see, no cheating. It's not good. But it sent you in the direction that you wanted to go in. So you went into the forces, you went into the services, and probably that took up your time, it took up your concentration, your energy, you had some outside stuff to do probably as well, I'm guessing. So what service did you actually go into? What did you join?
So I originally joined the Household Cavalry, Blues and Royals, and then... just as I passed out my training, I transferred to the 1st Battalion Coldstream Guards.
Oh, yes, I remember. I remember this conversation because my father was in the Grenadier Guards, and the Coldstream and the Grenadiers don't apparently get on, but apparently, I mean, I don't believe that, because if he was in a pub and there was a Coldstream there, he'd always buy him a pint. He wouldn't talk to him, but he'd always buy him a pint. Did you find that? Was there a bit of rivalry between the guards?
Yeah, it was. But, you know, it's a blue-red blue. It's a household division, so we all kind of stick together within reason. But, yeah, there's always banter and there's always, you know, competition between us.
Yeah, no, that reminds me of another quick story I don't think I've told you before. My father received every Christmas a Christmas card from the Coldstream Guards, and nobody ever signed it, and it came from all different places in the country. And only when my uncle had passed away did we find out that it was him playing a practical joke on him every year.
Nice, I like it.
Nice,
I love the idea.
Yeah, it's good. So where did you serve then? So you had some training time, I presume, and then they must have sent you out on service. Where did you go?
Yeah, so, majority of the time was ceremonial duties, but then we did have a tour in Northern Ireland, and then we came back to do ceremonial duties, and then we got deployed to Canada for 6 weeks to do Iraq training. We went off to Iraq, we came back, and then we had a small mission to do in Kosovo, which was less than 3 weeks, and then we came back. So operational tour wise, so for adventure training wise, yeah, all around Europe, the Mediterranean and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, quite massive range really.
Yeah, you saw a lot of places and I'm sure you saw a lot of things, but how long were you actually in for?
So 2 years Queen and Country, so as I joined at 16, so in total 7 years.
Wow, 16 you joined. My goodness, I've got a 17-year-old and a 20-year-old. 17-year-old soon to be 18. You wouldn't forgive me if I didn't say that. But I can't imagine sending him off to do that kind of training. And you must, gosh, you must have seen some things. And you must be very brave to go and serve your country the way that you did. I had tremendous respect for you. And that's, you know, part of the reason of getting you onto today, other than I love the accent and we have a great chat. But, you know, with today being the week of the Remembrance Day, I just thought you'd be an ideal guest to come along because I know how important those things are to you. And did you enjoy your, is there such a thing, enjoy? Did you enjoy your Remembrance Day? Did you have the time to commemorate and think about maybe some fallen comrades and things?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I get quite emotional on Remembrance because it brings back memories that sometimes I didn't really want to think about. But then on the other hand, it's nice to talk to the elderly veterans that, you know, have been through the war, world wars, and get some fantastic stories from them. It's a big part of me. I like to do it every year.
Yeah, I find it a very special day. We had a lovely day in Bromley. It's a very emotional day for me. I think it brings back memories of my father and his friends. And yeah, it is a very, very special day. I know we were restricted this year, but we managed to, with the restrictions, comply and still were able to show our respects and mark the occasion, which is so important. And It's so different this year, isn't it? It's, life is very different. But I did notice earlier, just lifting the spirit slightly, that you said that you were in the household cavalry to start with. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
So I was just about to ask you, that saying obviously you're very brave, but what are you actually scared of? And I hope it's not horses or spiders.
I'm not really scared. I've come over it now. But I would say failure is probably my worst fear. And rats. Yes, I've had a bad experience with rats in Northern Ireland. Failing and which I've overcome that, which is fantastic. Definitely if it was a rat there, I'd probably run a mile. You know, you wouldn't think I'd been to Iraq in Northern Ireland.
Oh, I don't think I'd stand up to a rat either. No, I'm with you on that one. I don't know who'd go for the quickest, you or me. But fear of failure. Now, that is a big one for people. There are all sorts of things people are frightened of, speaking in public, at heights, spiders, we say. But a fear of failure, I think, is quite a huge one, and it can drive us on. But I have noticed with you that you really do have this incredible, unfailing, positive attitude. Is it something that you've learned to do? Is it something you learned from the army? Is it just a natural progression in your life? You've just learned to turn things round and learn from the negative, it seems to me.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. It's something that I probably, when I started my business, I was really, really worried of failing. And with no safety net, and having to get to like clients and build up the business massively, I kind of adapted this method of actually putting the business military side of it into it, and then just challenge the business as much as I can with that positive attitude. And actually, it's all right to fail because you bounce back. And what's the positives that you can get out of that negativity or failing? And that's what I loved, and that's what drove me forward to the position where I am now, really.
So let's just take you back a little bit. So when you left the army, what did you do? I think you told me you went into the police force for a while. Did you do that for a while?
Yeah.
And then you moved on from there. And was it the Royal British Legion that helped you start up your business? How did that come about?
So I was window cleaning for about 2.5 years with a company. And then the position, an opportunity came up. I actually seen an advert on Facebook, Wonders of Facebook. And it was part of the Royal British Legion and Ex-Forces Enterprise that they were looking for ex-servicemen to start up their own business, and they'll help and support that. So I applied for it and didn't really think anything of it. And I went for an interview, and we put the business plan together. Then it goes off to the special funding for the British Legion. And I got accepted, which I was like, wow, this is fantastic. Got my equipment, and kind of off I went in the big world.
That's wonderful. I'm so pleased that the Royal British Legion are doing things like that. I'm not sure that many people know about that. We know about our poppies, and we know the wonderful work that they do. But being able to help someone, an ex-serviceman, get started and have a new business, I mean, you've done it. You're the one that's made it work. But for them to help you, I think, is such a great thing. But talking about making it work, you must have faced quite some obstacles and some challenges. And I'm not sure if you... Are there some that you can tell us about so that other people looking at their businesses at the moment, especially in this situation, can look at how they can get over their obstacles and challenges?
Definitely, Hannah. Yeah. I think, one of the obstacles is cash flow, because I didn't get a safety net with the business. It was just a minimum of a business loan, ideally for my fan and my equipment. So I just think you have to have that positive mindset, and just strive yourself forward, get out there in the community, advertise your business as much as you can. And also, I would probably say if you're starting off, then definitely join a business networking group, because that massively has helped me. And it gives you that business support that you probably, I never knew, when I first went to a networking meeting, I was like, whoa, is this actually what people do in business? This is scary.
Yeah, that's BNI, isn't it?
Yeah, that's BNI Spitfires, yeah. So it was really nice to have that people in business that have actually been there where I was. So I think, you're going to come across a lot of challenges, especially cash flow was a main problem, because obviously I'm paying back the business loan, the overhead of the fan, the equipment, the purified water. But don't let it get down to you. Just drive it forward, and naturally it just comes without even thinking. And if you do a good job, people will definitely use you.
Yeah, your business has built up quite considerably, hasn't it? And I know the networking groups have really helped and have been behind you and supported you, but that's what you do. I think that's a great suggestion, is to make sure that you've got yourself surrounded by people that can help you with all elements of your business and help drive you forward. Because it's always good, especially in these times, to be able to talk to people about moving forward. And a lot of companies are pivoting at the moment, aren't they? They're changing what they're doing and moving forward. But do you have someone, now this is a on-the-spot question, do you have someone that you feel has inspired you in your life? Who would you say that would be?
So I would say probably when I was growing up, Nigel Benn, and a lot of people might not know that, the youth nowadays, but Nigel Benn was the middleweight British champion of the world. And he kind of inspired me. I just liked his background. He come from a diverse background. He actually joined the Fusiliers, and he started his boxing career from basically boxing in the army. And yeah, I just liked everything he's done. He's positive attitude, his mindset. Yeah, I used to have a poster on his wall, on my wall, back in the day.
Oh, great. Well, actually, you know, that's another thing that we've got in common, because my father used to spar when he was in the army, and he used to spar with Jack Gardner, which was quite a famous boxer back in the day. And he was always very proud of that, and he loved his boxing. And in fact, he took me to the Royal Albert Hall to see Alan Minter win his title, which was thrilling. We were right up in the gods, but it was absolutely thrilling. I will never forget that. And it was a great occasion to go off with your dad. I wasn't very, very old at the time. And to experience those emotions as everybody's clapping and screaming and shouting. I'd never been to the Royal Albert Hall before either. So that was incredible. Talking about youth and teenagers, because I think I probably was a very young teenager when I went. If you were going to talk to yourself as a teenager now, so you as the adult talking to yourself as a teenager, what advice would you give yourself?
Well, what advice? I would say, don't give up. There's always hope. Look at the positives out of every negative situation. Come up with a solution and a strategy plan. And literally just go for it. And if it fails, bring it back to basics and then try again, but learn from it.
Yeah, never give up, always keep trying, and have an ambition maybe, and have an eye of where you want to aim for and go for it, because we've all got to be brave in this world, haven't we? And we've got to try. And your business has really grown from strength to strength. And you were saying something about you use special water. What is this water that you're using that isn't just like my tap water and that makes my windows shine then?
Yeah. So I use the purified water system, which is on the reach and wash system. I do the old traditional method as well. So I cover all aspects of window cleaning. So all the limescale has been drained out of the water, so it's just natural purified. So it just dries instant, which is just saves a lot more time. It's a bit more cleaner for the environment. It's not dirty water or hard water that's going on your windows. You know, it's just natural pure water.
Just goes to show, window cleaning is not that easy, is it? There's always something that I would never have known about. No wonder it looks wonderful when you do my windows. It doesn't look wonderful when I do them. So what's your plan for the future then? Are you going to grow and conquer Orpington and Bromley and the world? What are you going to do? What's your ambition going forward?
Well, I don't want to give out too much of my plans. But definitely at the stages at the moment of not being long in business is ready to go to the next level. I cover all of Bromley at the moment, Bromley Borough. So hopefully in the near future, you never know, it could be the whole of the southeast.
Possibly
nationwide. Who knows?
Who knows? So are you gonna, is your next ambition to have another van maybe, and maybe an apprentice or some young person to come and help you?
Yeah, definitely. I would like to link up with, like, say, local colleges and local like schools within the borough. It's a bit hard at the moment, obviously, with the pandemic that we're in. I would like to bring on board maybe an apprentice, a young lad, but somebody that's got not like, how can I put it? Somebody challenging. So someone that maybe finds it hard to accept in society, or, you know, someone that's maybe has Asperger's, or someone that...
Give someone a chance. Someone that needs a leg up.
It's maybe a bit of a rebel in society, and they think the route is going down of maybe gangs, or, you know, they think that's life. So I would like to bring them on board. They don't have to go into the window cleaning network or industry, but just to show them how a business works. And this is what goes into it. This is our livelihood. This is our overhead. And just the whole structure of it, and maybe give them that positivity that, you know, they're not doing as well at school, and they think it's all right to hang around the streets. And, you know, for instance, the other day I was walking down the high street with my daughter, you know, and there's a kid there and he's firing a firework off on the high street, you know, and he must be at least about 13. So, you know, and he thinks that's probably acceptable to do that. So, you know, I would love to grab that person and say, right, you know, this is society, this is life, that's not life, that's not society, this is the ropes and this is how we're going to do it.
You could make a big difference to someone, Gareth, with all of your background and obviously your massive heart that you just used showing us that. You just, with your workability, your determination, positivity, you really could make a huge difference to someone. I think that is fantastic. And I'm sure anybody listening to this, you might get loads and loads of letters because people really, I love the fact that you work very closely with your community and society. And I'm sure people will be very proud of you for that. But going back, okay, now going back to the teenager, what do you think the teenager would say about you now? What would that teenager say was your greatest achievement?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah. I would probably would say, well done. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep the positivity. And don't let anybody get in the way of what you're going to do and go for your plans, go for your goals.
You do. You absolutely do need to go for your goals. And I'm sure that that teenager would look at you and say, you've brushed yourself off on a couple of occasions and you've said, no, I'm not having this. I'm going to get there. I'm going to be successful in whatever business I so choose. And not only are you doing that, you're also willing to and looking for bringing somebody else on board that could really change their life and make their world very different. I think you're a very big-hearted chap. I'm a big fan, Gareth. We know that. I'm a big fan. But okay, all right. So obviously I'm a big fan, so I want to be at this very next question I'm going to ask you. But without me, obviously I'll be there, but who would you invite to your dinner party? If you were going to have the best dinner party ever, especially after lockdown and we can all see each other, who, apart from me, yeah, I've mentioned it a few times, so if I don't get invited, I'll get cross. Who would you have at your dinner party?
I would probably, the person that I kind of follow at the moment is a guy called Jay Morton. So he's ex-SES, and he's a kind of a leader in the leadership roles for mountaineering, rock climbing and all that kind of stuff. And he helps a lot of charity out and a lot of disruptive children out. And I like his work ethic. It's fantastic. You know, he's climbed Mount Everest twice. And I just love his positive attitude, and it's just like so focused, it's just unreal. So I think he'll be really good around the dinner table, and I could probably learn a hell of a lot from him. So I like to learn from people as well, and take the positivity out. So yeah, he's a fantastic guy and is such a good role model. He's worked alongside a few people on the SES program, but he's kind of in the background, and I kind of like people like that. You know, they're not in the fame light, they're kind of in the background doing all the groundwork.
Sounds like a really interesting kind of guy. So I'm going to enjoy this dinner party.
Oh, yeah,
but it can't just be three of us, though. Who else should we invite? Who else do you think?
Celebrity-wise, maybe Anthony Joshua has to be. You know, I love his work ethic as well, especially in the gym. I love my boxing. I'm passionate about it. But also, like, what he's done in the youth side of things, in the community, and bring people off, like youth off the streets, and show them that discipline within boxing. He does a lot for charity, and he's a very humble guy. And that's what I love about people, especially when they're humble. It's not all about them, it's about everyone else. And I think that would just be an amazing combination around the dinner table, including myself and including you. Wow.
Hey, I wouldn't be complaining. They sound like fantastic people. But as long as you two don't start boxing, that could all get a bit violent or could go very wrong at the end of the evening. But this hasn't gone wrong, and I am absolutely delighted to have been talking to you, Gareth. Thank you for your time. As I said, especially at this time of the year, we both feel very passionate about it. It means a lot to us around Remembrance Day. And with all of that you've done, serving your country, coming out, brushing yourself off, starting your new fantastic business, and looking to take other people along with you along the road, I think you are a fantastic guy. And thank you so much for spending some time with me today, so that hopefully we can inspire some more people who will be listening to this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today. If you know someone or are someone who should join me, please get in touch. Meanwhile, believe in yourself, support others, and please stay safe.